Tonight, if you turn your Bible and your apps to Ezekiel chapter 13, Ezekiel 13, we're going to make an attempt to get through 23 verses. Can't guarantee anything, but we'll get through verse 1 at least, maybe. So Ezekiel 13, Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. And I titled this, My People, Beware of Foolish Prophets. And for those who've been here, who've heard me when I get an opportunity to teach through the book of Ezekiel, and it's just that it talks so often of false prophets. It talks so often of those who are influencing the children of Christ to worship idols. And one of the things that we're going to see through this and through every book, at least in this, every chapter, at least in this book, and it talks about having ears to hear but cannot hear, eyes to see but cannot see. And as it says in Ezekiel, nothing new under the sun. We're still seeing it. We're seeing people that are being misled by the powers that be, are talking heads. And it was going on in those days and is continuing even through this day. So Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us to share your word. And again, we pray that your word will be rightly divided and that we would not add or take away anything, Father, as you commanded us to. So we thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for my sisters and brothers who were willing to come out and hear what you had to say, Father. And I pray, Father, that there would be at least one nugget that's gleaned from what you've given us tonight, Father. I know my heart has been enlarged as a result of digging into your word, and I pray that my sisters and brothers would do likewise. So I thank you now for this time. May you be glorified. Ezekiel 13, chapter 13, verse 1 says, And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. And these false prophets had long flourished in Judah and had made their way to Babylon. God directs Ezekiel to indict those false prophets for vain assurances of peace. And this is something that we are hearing, and we're going to hear it more in the coming days. Vote for me and I'll set you free. And there's only one opportunity for us to see peace, and that's when the Lord of peace returns. And these men and these women who are promising that they're going to set things right, they're going to get rid of all these things that are wrong in the country. The problem with that is the word right and wrong is very subjective. So they're saying that we're going to clean up this, we're going to give everybody their rights, but it's not possible to give everybody their rights. It doesn't work. There's no such thing as that, because that's why we have these dividing lines right now, this party or this party. Hey, Justin, get a lot of feedback. Thank you, brother. And we have to be concerned. We have to exercise wisdom and discernment about what the Lord would have us to do. He may not be calling me to the same plan of action that he's calling you to, but he is calling you to a plan of action. I can assure you of that. The thing that we have to be careful with is that we don't put our trust in any person, not one. There is no one who can grant us peace except Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That these people that are claiming that is what you want to hear. If you have itching ears, they're going to scratch them for you. And that may not be in our best interest. So just focus on the Lord. And if you're spending more time in another direction, perhaps social media, I want to encourage you tonight. It's okay in and of itself. Be careful. If you're spending the majority of your time following what's going on social media, that means you're spending less time digging into the word. You can ill afford to do that, because it's not going to benefit you at all. It's going to end up hurting you, destroying you in some way. So focus on the word of the Lord. Verse 3 says, Thus says the Lord God, Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing, their own spirit. And again, as it says in the word, be careful of what spirit you are, you're of. Be very careful. When we're following it, a lot of times we're being influenced by the people around us. And it says, woe to the foolish prophets. And that word foolish, the root word is fool. And the word says, a fool says in his heart, no God, no God. And if you are saying that he's less than that, less than God, which is saying that you're more than God, doesn't work. These spokespersons speak subjectively out of their minds while claiming to have revelation and authority from the Lord. The Lord told me to tell you to do this or don't do that. And the God that I know has no trouble coming to us directly. The God that I know, what he has for you is for you. He doesn't need an intercessor to speak for the intercessor. So if someone's coming to you, yet, take it for what it's worth. He's interceding for you. He doesn't need someone else, as in some religious systems that have other men and women to intercede for him to you. So let's be very careful with that. Verse 4, O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. And the false prophet did not do anything helpful. They were like foxes. They were mischievous and destructive. And foxes do have their place. They do have their function. They do have their purpose. But for the most part, they create mischief. They focus on things that they shouldn't focus on. And especially in a desert environment, there's not a lot for them to do, so they create problems. They create environmental problems. They create just destroying animals just because they're a fox. And there are people like that as well. They're like they are mischievous and destructive. And we have to be very careful with that as well. You know, last time I was here, I got to talk about fellowship and realizing that we have to be so careful. Good company, bad company corrupts. They do. And even though it's something that you may love dearly, we have to be careful that we don't allow them to dictate where our heart goes. So important. Verse 5, you have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. The false prophets did nothing to show up the spiritual defenses the people needed in the face of judgment. The enemy had generated gaps, but the false prophets never encouraged the people to repent or return to the Lord. And you've got that today. There are places that you can go to hear the word of the Lord, and they don't talk about sin. They don't talk about repentance. They don't talk about forgiveness. They don't want to deter you. They want to fill the seats, so they're going to tell you what you want to hear. Be very careful of that. If you go in and you don't hear the word of the Lord, then you might want to seek a shelter someplace else. And not standing here to judge any house of worship, but to know that those false prophets are alive. I won't say, and well, they're alive. They're out there. And they're seeking you. They want to pull you in. So they're going to tell you what you want to hear. You're going to hear a lot about prosperity. You're going to hear a lot about, you just pray and give us a couple shekels and your sins will be forgiven. You're going to hear these things. It's false, friends. Absolutely false. Isaiah 2:12 says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. These people, these organizations, these groups, these splinter groups that are flying high, the Lord has an eye and ear on them. So we think that they're getting away with it. Why does the Lord allow this? Everything that the Lord does has a purpose. When he allows these groups to seemingly prosper, to seemingly grow, to seemingly have control over their lives and lives of others, he's using them as a tool. And the Lord uses each and every one of us, each and everything as a tool. Don't get caught up into this thing about evil is taking over the world. When you say evil is taking over the world, you're omitting God from the equation. Can't be done. God knows all, hears all, sees all. He has a plan, even through what we're seeing today, the things that are horrible things that are going on around us, senseless murders, senseless violence, people creating an opportunity to not like someone because they're not like me. We can't afford to do that. The God that we serve is love. Everything is love. God loves. Jesus loves. Don't get fooled into thinking that there has to be a dividing line. And if you listen to enough social media, if you listen to enough talking heads, they will create a dividing line. I can't not like you for this, but I cannot like you for this. We'll create a reason to hate. And that's what we're seeing. And a lot of us are being affected by it. A lot of us are fearful. A lot of us are anxious. A lot of us are basically giving up. You know, we just heard of a situation this week. The lady lost a son through senseless violence. So she's basically said, I don't want to have anything to do with this Jesus that you guys talk about. A loving God would never allow that to happen. That is not true, my friends. Everything that he does is for a reason. Everything that he does has a purpose. And we, in our human or secular eyes, we can't see that. You know, why would a God take away this young man who had a very bright future to senseless nonsense? Why would a God do that? Because he's a God of love, because he's sovereign, everything he does has a purpose. Humanly, I can't understand what would have happened to this person if that hadn't happened. It could have been something even more violent, even more tragic, hard to imagine. But God saw that. God knew that. God says, I need to take him out or her out now so the family, the friends won't be subjected to that. If we stop honoring God because of something that happened that we didn't like, we don't trust him. That's basically what we're saying. We don't trust God. We don't trust that God knew what he was doing. I think God made a mistake on this one. God does not make mistakes. He does not. He never has, and he never will. When we start thinking about how God took someone out early, they died too soon, we don't know the end. We don't know what he saved that person from. Human-wise, we want to keep them here and struggle with us. Essentially, that's what we're saying. You know, and we would say he or she is in a better place. Possibly. We can't know that. It doesn't really matter. God knows. But we have to have so much confidence in our Lord and Savior that we know that everything he does, according to his word, is for the good of those who are in him. So when these things happen, just bear in mind that God is in control. Evil cannot take over the world as long as there's a God. It can't. Can't be. Verse 6, they have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say the Lord says, but I have not spoken. The Lord says, these people are coming to you. The Lord sent me to you to say that you're going to come into some money next week. You want to believe that. So this false prophet, this soothsayer, is telling you what you want to hear. And you're inclined to believe that because that's the desire of your heart. So he or she will convince you that they know. And yeah, there may be something. You may be walking the street and you see a quarter on the ground. You pick it up. There. They prophesied correctly. They're right. I did come into some money. Or you're going to have a new love in your life. And let me put it this way, folks. When you start listening to that nonsense, it is no different from you reading the horoscopes. Same thing. It's so general, so basic, until you make it apply to you. You make it come true, and they depend on that. And they got these hirelings. They meaning some religious system had these hirelings that they send out just to do this. And people flock. Because you're going to tell me what I want to hear. I don't want to hear about the fact that I'm a sinner. I've never done anything bad. I'm a good person. So I don't want to go to church and hear about all this nonsense. It doesn't take all of that. Where I go, we go in there and they give us a 15-minute sermonette and we're good to go. We're good for a week. And it's not about the amount of time. It's about the quality of the message that's being presented. So we don't go by that. And I've heard some people boast about that. At our church, we only have to listen to the word for 15 minutes and we're good. No, you're not good. Doesn't mean that you're better if you're here for an hour. It just means that I don't, by being in our mission allows us to dig into the word, not just give it to you and you figure it out. And there's something to be said about that. It's just so to show yourself approved, but it's just that we want to give you something that causes you to ask questions, something that causes you to self-examine, something that says, that brother, he went kind of long, but he made a couple good points. It's those couple good points that we're aiming for. We want you to seek the Lord. We want you to understand him. We want you to know his heart. We want you to say, you know, I never really thought about that this way. I never thought about the fact that God took my grandmother because he loved her, not because of anything that she had done. Or not done. God took my grandmother because her mission was complete. And he will just continue to do that. Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith in God. Have you not seen a futile vision? And the Lord raises them up and the Lord sits them down. And you're going to see that in the coming weeks and months and years as we go through this. You're going to see some flying above the radar. And then all of a sudden, someone's going to open the closet door. There's skeletons in there. Ooh, I thought he was a good man. I thought she was a good woman. What's the word say? And we've all got those things. Verse 8, therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore, I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. The Lord says, I am indeed against you. It's not a good place to be. Not at all. If he's against you, then you definitely got a problem. Because it means that you've gotten to the point where he can't look at you. He can't look at your sin. He can't look at the idolatry that you're involved in, that we're involved in. He can't look at it. So he has to do, because he's a God of love, he has to do something. Because once we get involved in idolatry, there's no line there, folks. How far are you willing to go? You say, well, I'm only doing this, everybody does it. It's not reasonable. That's not sound reasoning, because everybody does it. Everybody worships money. Everybody worships these things. So it's okay. It's not okay. It does not honor the Lord. And he says, I honor those who honor me. If you're not honoring him, then you shouldn't have any expectations about him honoring you. Shouldn't. Again, why? Because he loves you. He loves you so much until he wants to see you prosper, but at what cost? He wants to see you encouraged, but at what cost? He wants to see you lifted up, but at what cost? And sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. Most of the time we are. Verse 9, my hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They should not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. Very clear. They're going to know. They're going to know that what they're doing is wrong. Well, nobody ever told me that it wasn't right for me to be a fornicator. Nobody ever told me that it wouldn't be right for me to be a liar. Nobody ever told me that. Back to fellowship. Anytime you get an opportunity to fellowship, encourage them in the word. Regardless, even Uncle Joe, who you've been working on for 18 months, don't stop. Don't stop. Aunt Mary, hard head, hard head. Don't give up on her. If he won't allow you to pray with them, you can always pray. They can't stop you from praying for them. Nobody can stop you from praying for them. So continue to pray for Uncle Joe and Aunt Mary. They need it. Someone's praying for us, even as we sit here tonight. Someone's praying for us right now, right here, right now. And there's no doubt that someone's interceding. So he hears our words. He's reading our hearts. He knows what we're struggling with. Everybody in this room, right here, right now, is struggling with something. Everyone. And some of you I don't know, but I'm going to say it anyway, a general statement. We're all struggling with something. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be liberated in our lives. And too often, you know, there's a song that I think of. It says, there's too often we live our lives in chains and we never know we have the key. He is that key. He has a key, and he's still rolling away stones today. Come out of those graves. Come out, honor him, worship him, praise him. Give him the glory for everything. There's nothing that you do that's done because of you. There are things that you do in spite of you, but God has a plan. He wants to see us do well. He wants to see us be free. He wants us to be free to share the word every opportunity we get. Some of us are afraid. Some of us don't even talk about Jesus outside of these four walls or your homes. Some of us don't. Well, I'm just not open. I'm just not bold like that. I would say there's something that we all talk about, things that we love, we can't wait to share. When you get to the point of what you love is Jesus, then you're going to share with anyone, anytime, anywhere. That's where he wants us to be. Do not be afraid of the gospel. Don't. You're holding yourself back. You're allowing yourself to be trapped in this cave. You're not giving him an opportunity to roll that stone away so you can be free. That's what he wants from you. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. A threefold judgment is given to the false prophets. First one, they would not be in the council of God's people. Number two, their names would be wiped from the register of Israel, and you can verify it in Ezra 2:62. And three, they would never return to the land, and you can verify that in Ezekiel 20:38. Those are three things that he's given them, threefold judgment. You want to be in the council of God's people. You're here in the council of God's people now. What's better than that? Don't want him to have to take that away from you. Their names shall be wiped from the register of Israel. He's speaking of the Jews. But do you want your name to be stricken from the book of life? And I'm sure we'll get a resounding no. I would not. You don't want that. And three, they would never return to the land. Now, the land that they're referring to is different from what we see today. Because right now, there's so many of us that are just discouraged about what's going on in our land. And I think about, you know, further on in Ezekiel where it talks about, can these bones live? The answer is yes. And he showed that. Don't be that person who's afraid. Well, I don't know the word that well to speak up. Well, anything that you've learned by putting time in. Put time into the word of God. You don't have to be ignorant. My people perish for lack of knowledge, lack of vision. That doesn't have to be us. We can prosper. We can go full speed ahead with the Lord leading us if we allow. But we put those restrictions on ourselves. He does not restrict us. He wants you to flourish, but it's your decision whether you're going to honor him or not. Verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstone, shall fall, and the stormy wind shall tear it down. What is this untempered mortar? False prophets had lulled the people into false security. Phony peace promises was a way of erecting a defective wall and whitewashing it to make it look good. Remember earlier in the word he talked about whitewashed sepulchers. This is synonymous with that. Such an unsafe wall was doomed to collapse when God would bring his storm, picturing the invader's assault. Untempered mortar refers to a type of plaster or cement mixture that lacks proper binding strength. And any one of us in the construction business understand that, even if you're a homeowner, or do it yourself, or you understand that. When constructing a wall, using untempered mortar makes it vulnerable to collapse, especially during storms or adverse conditions. In this context, it refers to false prophets or deceptive leaders that offer superficial solutions or false assurances like peace without addressing the underlying issues. They'll talk about there will be peace, but they're not addressing the underbelly of evil. They're not addressing the underbelly of sinful nature. They're not addressing the underbelly of the things that we caught up in, that we just, I won't say can't let go. We don't want to let them go. We can't allow ourselves to get caught up in that. And without addressing underlying issues that leads to disastrous consequences, basically untempered mortar symbolizes defeat and instability. And for those who understand what that really means, it could be, it could equate to building on sand as opposed to building on a rock. You've got to start with a good foundation. You've got to start with the right equipment, the right tools. And we're not talking necessarily in the physical context, but the spiritual context of what this really means. How do you establish a life with Christ when you don't have a heart for him? How do you establish a life with Jesus when you don't really know what kind of heart he has? How do you establish a life with the Lord that when things go wrong, that's it, I'm out. I don't want to do this religion thing anymore. And that's the problem. It's religion. Everybody's religious. Even these people who call themselves atheists, they're religious. I encourage you to think that we are faith-based. Faith in Jesus. Religion is doing the same thing over and over. And sometimes it's doing the same thing but expecting different results. There's a name for that, but we won't talk about that one. Verse 12, surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? All of a sudden now, the wall's not holding up. Where's this mortar that you're using? What's in it? Well, I figured I could save a couple dollars if I just bought an inferior product. So now we're going to focus on the price as opposed to the quality of what we're doing. The quality of what we are about is based on what the Lord puts in our hearts. It's not about trying to take shortcuts. Well, I just read the Reader's Digest version of the Bible, and I get a lot from that. So who determines what's taken out? And as I said earlier, he encouraged us not to put anything in or take anything out. So when we read that condensed version, what are you missing? When he wrote, when he had this written, he intended for every word to be there. We may not understand it, but that was his intention. We need to spend the time. It's imperative that we do. So I will break down the wall that you have plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it, that you shall know that I am the Lord. Making that very clear. Well, Lord, how many times do you have to say that? It often So you'll really start to understand that there's a real meaning behind it. If you said it 6 times already, can he overstate it? I am the Lord. Verse 16, that is the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem, who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. 17, likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them. Now, God turns his attention to the prophetess. We don't hear that very much. About the prophet, we hear about the prophet, but the prophetess are creating chaos as well. They're not excluded. They're getting in on the action. Verse 18, and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? She's going to prophesy because she wants to entice you. Not just necessarily with her words, but she's going to prophesy. She's going to entice you with items, things that shine and glitter and all that other stuff, light up. So she's going to entice you in a way that she knows. And we, as the ladies were singing this song tonight, this just sort of popped in my head. It says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. That's us. That's all of us. No exceptions. Some more than others. Prone to wander. And that's what they're doing. You say, oh my goodness, she's offered me this really nice jewelry, this really nice garment, this really nice thing. So I'm in on that. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? The answer is yes. And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies? Prone to wonder, friends. Listen to lies. Well, no, brother, I'm really grounded in the Lord. That's not going to happen to me. Nonsense. No one's immune. No one. So even when you're grounded, I'm really strong in the Lord. So, you know, these things, they can't entice me. You're wrapped in flesh. So you're at a disadvantage. Even on a good day, you might say, normally I wouldn't be interested in that. But you are today. I just can't believe that drew me away. And I was reading the word, and all of a sudden I had this thought from my sophomore year in high school. It can happen. It can happen to any of us. Verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like birds. I would tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. And there's so many people who are enticed by these so-called charm bracelets. They're enticed by these soothsayers, these sorceresses. They're enticed by that. And the sorcerers use all these things in their divination to hunt down souls for their advantage. What's the advantage of the sorcerer? Well, first of all, I've given you things that cause you to want to follow me. So when you start to follow me, I can say the things that you want to hear. I get to know you. I learn you. And I get to know the things that are going to entice you. And I get to know that the enemy is using the same lure that he used from the beginning. The very same. He doesn't have to change tactics. He's using the very same thing that he did. And it's all of us. All of us. We can never allow ourselves to allow our guard down. Well, I'm leaving home, but I really don't need all the armor. Just give me those couple pieces and I'm good. No, you're not. Well, I'm really strong in the Lord, so I don't need the chest plate because I'm impenetrable, you know. No, absolutely not. Any of that. I don't need to shod my feet because they'll never be able to get that close to me. Don't believe it. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Any of us can be subject to anything at any time. When we judge people, just by the grace of God, we could be that most devious individual. And some of these guys have seen it. Some of these first responders have gone out and seen good people snuffed out. Some of them have gone and seen people who were just senselessly taken away. And not just first responders, police, and some of you guys, whatever. You know, you see all this stuff. Again, that could be any of us. And we need to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to fall into this false sense of reality that we're safe. Well, I live in a really, really good neighborhood, so those things don't happen where I live. Hogwash, friends. These thugs, I'm going to use that word, they can afford to live where you live. They can afford to shop where you shop. They can afford to go where you go. And distance doesn't really mean anything. Things like that don't happen where I live. I find that to be not true. It happens everywhere. And again, a lot of time it may be done just so the Lord can open your eyes to know that the only safe place, the only place of peace is with Him. Not where we live or who we know or who we hang out with. He just opens our eyes by allowing us to see these things. Verse 22, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. And the predators had saddened the righteous by false measures leading to chaos, which involved great loss even for them. They had encouraged the wicked to expect a bright future and saw no need to repent and avoid death. They do not preach repentance. They do not preach a sinful nature. They do not preach repentance or going to the Lord asking for forgiveness for our actions or inactions. They don't teach that. They don't preach that. And they have saddened the righteous by false message. How do you know when it's a false message, you ask? You only know when it's false when you compare it to the truth. This book, this Bible, that app that you have in front of you, provided is from the right source, encourage us to know what the truth is. And if you don't know, I encourage you to get to know. Get to know the Lord. Get to know His heart. Get to know what He wants from you. Get to know what He wants from us individually and collectively. Get to know Him. Verse 23, therefore you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know again that I am the Lord. You got to know. You got to know. You got to see what He's doing here with Ezekiel. You got to know what He's doing here with us right now. All the things that He's subjecting you to, me too, He wants to see growth in our lives. He wants to see us encouraged. He wants to see us getting to know His heart, getting to want to have a heart like His. That's what He wants from us. You can't know that. You don't. If you're not spending time in the Word, you're depending on the fact that you're going to learn His heart through osmosis. Doesn't work. It does not work. Well, I'm a hearer of the Word. What does the Word say about that? I'm a hearer. Yeah, okay. So you're halfway there. Do you want to be halfway to glory? There's another religious system that has a place like that. There's no such thing. Well, halfway there, brother. You're not there. Plain and simple. So don't buy into these lies about, all you need to do is go out on the street and give away tracts and talk to people, minister, witness, whatever, and you're good. It's not enough. It's not enough. We have to establish a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no shortcut. Spending time in the Word, spending time in fellowship, spending time praying. Praying first and foremost. I should have mentioned that one first. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Well, I pretty much prayed for everything. Explain that one to me. What does that mean? Well, you know, I mean, I pray for everybody I know that's sick. I pray for my church body. I pray for the body of Christ. Everybody? Well, there may be a couple people that I didn't pray for because they're not my kind of people. Again, what does that mean? But I hear it. We hear it. Although in the scripture, women were rebuked by Isaiah and Amos, this, in these few verses, this is the only context in the Old Testament where false prophetess are mentioned. Sorcery was practiced mainly by women. Jezebel is called a false prophet in Revelation 2:20. When God said, I will deliver my people, certainly this was true in the restoration after the 70 years in Babylon, but will be fully true in the Messiah's kingdom. God's true promise will bring an end to sorcery, false prophecy, and it will bring true peace. True peace, not peace for 4 years and then back to someone else making the same promises. Everlasting truth. Everlasting life. He will bring that. We have to play a part. We can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. But that's not enough. God said, I will deliver my people. Are you God's people? Do you have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you in or are you out? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to encourage you. I've got a couple more verses I'd like to read and then we're going to head out. But one of them is, actually they're both from Deuteronomy. You don't have to go there, I just want to read it. But basically what it's saying in my heart is to get right or get left. That's it. Those are the only two options. There's nothing that the Word talks about going halfway or getting halfway there. There's no way that you can know God's heart unless you put time in. You gotta be committed. And I say gotta. I usually stay away from those kind of words because there's some of us who are gonna be, I will not have this man to rule over me. That's going to be right at the end, even to the end. It's your choice. I just want to say, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, as for us and our church, we will serve the Lord. Period. Where are you? Do you have that personal relationship? If you don't, while the blood is still running warm in your veins, you can do that tonight. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It could be the best thing that you could ever do. For those of us who ran rampant in our early years, when we were youthful, and the Lord, we chased him until he caught us. That's what you can do tonight. Chase him until he catches you. That's what we need to do. Need to do. Best thing that could happen to you. Just a couple more verses. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. Idols. Let us go after idols. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, but the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams will be put to death. He reigns on the just and unjust. because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, so to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. There's evil in your midst, put it away. It's death, it's destruction. You have something to say about it. Don't allow yourself to be pulled in by visions of grandeur. It never comes to good. And again, back in Ezekiel, a different chapter, it talked about, the Lord says, okay, we need to stem the tide of all this idolatry. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring in these men. I'm going to bring in 70 men. And I'm going to say, okay, go out and just either eliminate or minimize the idolatry. So these seven men, priests, chief priests, they went out and established their own den of iniquity. All of them. That breaks the Lord's heart. Well, you could say, well, didn't he see that coming? The answer is yes. But again, like we say, evil. It's a tool. So the Lord is using that. So these men were just one example of that. Just one of many examples of people that the Lord instilled something in them and they turned it into something else. Last verse. Deuteronomy 18, 21 through 22. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. And there's a word that we try and stay away from, but use it on several occasions. The word is called assume. Some of you, especially if you've been in a business environment, you understand the meaning of that word. I'm certainly not going to explain it here. Prophet has spoken by assuming, you shall not be afraid of him. Know the word of God. Study the word of God. Live the word of God. Breathe the word of God. Share the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. And he will grant you peace. Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for my sisters and brothers, Father. And I pray that you said in your word that they have ears to hear but cannot hear. They have eyes to see but cannot see. I pray, Father, that not necessarily because of this vessel, but because of your word, that eyes are open, ears are open, hearts are open to receive more of you, Father. If there's anyone here tonight who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they will come not running, but even walking fast, Father, saying, what must I do to be saved? I know you want to bless them, Father, well beyond anything that they could imagine. And Father, I'm a living testimony of how you work, and there's so many in this congregation tonight who would say amen to that, who came from, headed towards the pits of hell, but you turned their lives around, Father. And I'm thankful to be one of those, Father. And what a pleasure, what an honor, what a treasure it is to know that our Redeemer lives. So we thank you, Father, for what you've done. And we just open our hearts for more of you, Father. May you see the glory of all that we do and say throughout this day and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, our soon returning King, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys.